From the launching pad to the landing strip, Texas Countdown brings you a clear, concise summary of the fast-changing world of aerospace. This program is brought to you by the leading aerospace industries in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, including Ling Temco, ChanceBot, Texas Instruments, American Airlines, Collins Radio, and the Alpha Corporation. Now, here is aerospace reporter John Davenport.
Good afternoon. This is aerospace. Perhaps the biggest news in aerospace this week belonged on the financial page. Senator William Blakely sold his 34% interest in Braniff Airways Friday to four top executives of Texas Instruments. The deal amounted to about $13.5 million. The buyers were J. Eric Johnson, TI board chairman, Eugene McDermott, Cecil Green, and P.E. Haggerty. They stressed, however, that the buy was in the nature of personal investments and that the purchase had no connection with Texas Instruments. In space news, the mastermind of the Soviet space program resigned this week. He is Alexander Nesmianov, who, it's speculated, was relieved of his job because of a new Kremlin program to speed up the conversion of research results into practical application. Meanwhile, it was announced at the same time that several of Russia's top Air Force and military men died in a so-called aviation catastrophe. No details were given. And one of our top space scientists arrived here in Dallas this week. We reported the event to Southwest Central News earlier.
Southwest Central News. Dr. Hubertus Struhold, professor of space medicine of the Aerospace Medical Center at Brooks Air Force Base in San Antonio, and advisor for research, is in Dallas to speak to the American Astronautical Society. Dr. Struhold is a national authority on space medicine. Doctor, I wonder if you could tell us if Commander Alan Shepard's flight had any valid scientific value to it.
Yes, there's no question that it has had a very great value, because during all this time when he was in the United States, this flight was a true space flight, or let's say cosmic flight in every respect.
I wonder if you can tell us if you believe that Yuri Gagarin, the so-called Russian cosmonaut, if Yuri Gagarin's flight was actually true, or do you think it was a hoax? Can you comment on that?
I was not there, but for this reason I cannot say that it took place. But if you cannot prove the contrary, you have to accept it.
Do you think the publicity given our space flight, that is with Commander Shepard, was a good thing, or do you think we should have announced it after the fact?
Since it was successful, I think it was very good, and it has a tremendous effect all over the world.
Have you received any communications from Germany or Europe on that fact, for example, television coverage and so forth?
Yes, I got letters, and they were all very pleased that it was had been done and that it was successful.
And finally, Dr. Struhold, can you tell us what planet do you think in the future would be best populated by the human race?
Populated is the wrong term. We must say to create, let's say, a base or station for scientific exploration. And in this respect, the moon, of course, as the closest celestial body, is an attractive target celestial body for space operations. And the next will be Mars.
Thank you, Dr. Struhold. We've been talking with Dr. Hubertus Struhold, professor of space medicine at the Aerospace Medical Center at Brooks Air Force Base in San Antonio, and advisor for research. John Davenport reporting for Southwest Central News.
The National Space Agency said this week it plans to rocket a second astronaut down the Atlantic Missile Range around the 20th of June. And in Turin, Italy, two Italian amateur ham radio operators this week picked up something in space that they said sounded like two men and a woman. They didn't say who was doing most of the talking. President Kennedy told representatives of missile-based labor unions and contractors Tuesday that the nation's security is tied to their efforts. In effect, he told them to get on the ball and cut out the strikes that cripple this country's missile and space efforts. In this same connection, a report circulated by the Commerce Department indicated that Russia may enjoy a bigger space power lead over us than we thought. It suggests that the Soviets already have a rocket more powerful than our giant Saturn rocket still on the drawing board. The Saturn is expected to be ready in 1964. Meantime, this announcement from Washington this week: the administration is planning a major change in the National Space Program by giving the Air Force responsibility for developing a new family of huge launching rockets using solid fuel. Here in Dallas Friday, the Secretary of the Air Force paid us a visit.
Southwest Central News. Secretary of the Air Force Eugene Zuckert spoke Friday noon before an Armed Forces Day luncheon at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel. Later, at a press conference, we asked Secretary Zuckert this question.
Mr. Secretary, you said in your speech today that the purpose of armament is to maintain the peace rather than to wage war. And yet the goal for all Western nations is eventual disarmament. Is there any problem in reconciling these two viewpoints?
I don't see any problem. I think that disarmament, especially in view of the terrible nature of the weapons that we have developed, is a rational and desirable objective. But so long as arms do exist, it's important that we have the arms to protect ourselves and to deter.
At this point, Mr. Zuckert, the Air Force is pinning its national defense hopes on the Minuteman missile, for one thing. What's the status of this missile at this time?
The Minuteman missile is in development, and we are satisfied with its progress. It's on schedule. We think it's going to be a very fine weapon system. A setback such as today, when the test did not go successfully, is what you have to expect in the development of a new weapon system.
In the last few months, we have, of course, had a change in the administration in Washington. Do you anticipate any further changes in policies of national defense?
I couldn't give you a specific answer. I think that the changes in policy were indicated in my speech today, to give a greater emphasis to limited war, to provide greater mobility to our forces, I think a broader spectrum of ability to deter and to fight limited war has been a keynote of this administration's policy. I think you will see this foundation built upon in the budgets to come.
Would you care to make a comment as to the relative strengths of the United States Air Force as compared to the Air Force of the Soviet Union?
No, because I would be guessing. What I would say, though, is that the United States Air Force, particularly our Strategic Air Command, is a tremendously powerful instrument, fully capable of carrying out its job of deterring attack upon the United States.
Air Force Secretary Eugene Zuckert in Dallas Friday. Walter Evans, Southwest Central News.
In other news, pilots and crews of the Air Force and of the Temco Aerosystems divisions of the Ling Temco Electronics Company were presented recently with two separate flying safety awards. The Air Force Logistics Command Flying Safety Award and the Dallas Air Procurement District's Flying Safety Award were the two honors given. Since the AFLC Flying Safety Award is reserved for the military personnel, the Dallas Air Procurement District Award was presented by the Air Force to recognize Temco's safety record at the company's Greenville facility. Braniff revealed this week that it was going to install a $1 million jet simulator at its operations and maintenance base at Love Field. It will duplicate flight conditions for pilots and trainees and is slated to be installed in August. American Airlines said this week it will expand its Dallas jet service June the 11th. According to Bradford S. Gibson, American's district sales manager, the new plans include inauguration of the first Dallas-Tennessee service, the beginning of Dallas-El Paso jet service, the first Dallas-San Diego jet service, the start of a daily Dallas-Austin jet round trip, and the addition of a third daily jet to Chicago from Dallas. Are flying saucers real? Yes, says a Dallas expert on the subject. He is William Daniel of 8036 Fall River Drive. This is what he had to say on the matter to us earlier. Mr. Daniel, how long have you been studying this phenomenon known as flying saucers or unidentified flying objects?
Since late 1948.
Do you have reason to believe there are such things?
I think there are too many reliable reports by people in occupations such as airline pilots, radar men, jet fighter pilots, and technical personnel at rocket and installations of technological development, where technological development is going on, that indicate this.
Well, do you have any documents to support what you're saying?
I have a statement I received recently. It's a copy of a statement that is signed by 21 scientists, American scientists, who have urged that the Air Force check the UFOs more thoroughly and that an investigation be made of the Air Force procedure.
Who are some of these scientists?
One of them, Dr. Charles P. Olivier, Emeritus Professor of Astronomy, University of Pennsylvania, and he was the president of the American Meteor Society. Another one is Dr. Frederick P. Cranston, physicist, Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory, University of New Mexico. And there are, as I say, 21 others, or 20 others.
Have you ever seen an unidentified flying object that you know that wasn't a weather balloon or something like that?
I have seen a group of unidentified objects which were unexplainable to me in early 1954.
What did they look like?
They looked like a group of small circular lights or luminescent objects in a concave formation, and they went from south to north across the sky at night in approximately 15 seconds.
And you're sure they weren't ducks or geese or something like that?
I'm fairly certain from the standpoint there was no illuminating sources which would indicate, and they moved, and they were observed too far to reflect the lights that could have possibly done so. And at that time, or that night, there was no full moon, or any moon at all at that point.
In a recent book by a Colonel Tacker of the Air Force, he said that flying saucers as such were something that could be explained almost 99% of the time. Apparently, you don't agree with this.
Not exactly, no, from the standpoint that they can be explained, but from the standpoint that the explanation is the correct one.
Well, how many of these explanations do you think are valid? For example, you don't think all of these objects are something from outer space or another world, do you?
Not nearly all of them, no. There are too many people who are taking advantage of the subject by writing books of the contactee nature. There are other people who write books based on their hypothesis of how the saucers are propelled, and they garble the UFO incidents to prove their point.
You mentioned contactee. What does that mean?
Someone who is alleged to have contacted an individual from another planet.
Well, don't you think some of these people are just doing it for the sensationalism or the money?
A great many of them are doing it for the money, and the other percentages, I do not think, that are doing it for money are doing it because they have to have an escape and a way to get their names known to the general public. It's possibly an ego complex there.
Well, if there are such things as unidentified flying objects, and certain people have seen them, why hasn't the government talked to these people? Why don't they take the benefit of their experience?
Well, from the standpoint that a few years ago, there was an investigation set up by a leading aircraft company to investigate anti-gravitic processes to where we might someday be able to utilize the force of gravity to repel the Earth's gravity and to go into space. This was offered as an explanation for the saucer propulsion in as early as 1950, and as I say, the investigation by this prominent company did not start until 1955.
So you think the Air Force may be covering up something here?
It seems that the times that they take up projects which are somewhat related to something that saucers are said to have done, the non-existent saucers are said to have done, has come up quite a number of times in the last few years.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel.